Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View, Phase 12. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Very well, very well. This is a different show to usual, IT.
It is?
It is, because we have no cider.
None?
No, but you do have other things in your fridge.
We do. This week, we have three Perries.
Yeah, so it's a Perry-themed show.
It is indeed. We have got a lovely organic perry from Dunkerton's. Well, at least I hope it's lovely.
Yep.
We have got a perry from Severn Cider.
Severn, where are they based?
They are... where did you say they were based?
Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire, that's it. That's I knew it started it. With G.
Well done.
And we also have a French perry from Normandy.
Or Poire.
Or Poire. Christian Dwar. That sounds like a perfume.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so, that is a person. It's not Dwar, it's Drow and Drown, I don't know.
So Perry's from Gloucestershire, Herefordshire and Normandy.
Indeed.
Okay, good stuff. Well, what's first?
I don't know. What order are we doing these in? This one's medium, but we don't know about the other two.
Yeah, but they're probably sweetish, aren't they? Perry's are always sweet.
I say let's leave the French till last because it's in the usual French champagne-style bottle.
Okay.
And...
Well, Dunkerton's.
Yes,
we can go Dunkerton's
let's start
first.
With this Dunkerton's. Because we've had a few Dunkerton ciders in the past, which we have been fans of.
We like. Some more than others, but generally very, very good cider.
Yes.
Yeah, see if the perry matches up.
This is a 7.5%.
That's about as strong
Don't
as
Don't give me too
get.
Much. It's a very light colour.
It's almost pink.
A very hint of cloudiness in there, but only a hint.
Fizzy, but they're all fizzy, aren't they? Sparkling.
Mm. Smells fruity. I like the smell. It's always a good sign.
That's nice.
Ah.
Quite almost bitter.
Hmm. It's
It's not too sweet. I was expecting sweeter.
Yeah. No, I'd say, yeah, dry, medium dry.
Yeah, it is. It's
For a perry.
Quite like that.
It's interesting, actually. I've
Quite refreshing.
Yeah, to an extent. It still has that dry...
Yeah, it's dry at the end, but it's... Because quite often you get... They're not even perries. They're really just pear versions of cider. They're overly sweet. They're like drinking... What's those pear-flavoured sweets you used to get? Pear drops.
Pear drops, yes. Yes.
And it can be too much, too intensely sweet. This is nice.
Yeah, I like.
So we're expecting good things from Dunkerton's for their organic perry. And they've delivered. The question is, are we going to grade these the same way we would grade a cider?
I think we might as well. I mean, while you couldn't really directly compare the perries to the ciders necessarily, I think we might as well.
They're the same genre.
Yeah.
So we still give them a grading. See, I don't want all our Dunkertons to get the same grading, but
I can't remember. So how about...
I'm between a 7.5 and an 8 for that.
Yeah. I'm about the same.
Yeah. The thing is, it's quite strong, but it's still quite drinkable. And I don't usually like when you use the word refreshing, because I think anything's refreshing. But this genuinely is. So a drink that can be that strong and refreshing and still have a nice taste to it is quite nice. And it's very different to the standard perries that we've had before. So I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it a 7.5.
So a 7.75.
Sounds a plan.
All right, well, that was efficient.
Yeah.
Okay, next, we're going to the Gloucestershire.
So Gloucestershire Severn Cider, which came from my Bristol Cider Shop order a few weeks ago.
6.2%.
6.2%. Let's get it cracked open. Oh, I'm opening this one. Top you up. It's the more light colour. Not really a hint of cloudiness in this one. This is very clear.
It's slightly darker colour. There's more colour to it, if you know what I mean.
I think I've given you not enough there.
So still translucent, like. Still very sparkling. This one advertises itself as medium sparkling.
Okay, well, let's have a taste.
Sweet air.
Ooh. Ah.
Tastes more like cider.
No, I like that.
I like that too.
It's even more refreshing.
I wouldn't say it's more refreshing. I'd say it's more flavour.
Yeah, well...
It's more flavour, but it's less dry. It's very it's medium bordering on sweet.
It is different, yes. It is much a sweeter perry.
But it's just only sweeter because the other one was quite dry.
Yeah.
But the other one was nicely dry. This is just a medium perry. Tastes a bit like cider.
I like that. I'm going for 8.
But just rattling through it here.
Yeah, I know. I've made my mind up already.
You're giving that an 8.
I am giving this an 8.
I'm tempted to give that an 8 as well. But the thing is, I don't want to give all these Perrys an 8. Because then it implies that that's just the standard rating that we give it.
Well, not necessarily. Because we have tasted one Perry on the show before, haven't we?
Yeah, was that not a Weston's Perry?
Yes, it was the Henry Weston's Vintage Perry. Can you remember what we gave that?
7.5, I think.
Okay.
But we've given so many things. 7.5. Well, we've done quite a few ciders now, haven't we?
We
so
have.
There's going to be a lot of ciders and Perrys with the same grading.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm pleased with both of those.
I like.
And they are different. So this one from Gloucestershire, the Severn Cider is the brand. This is it's medium, it's sweeter, it's got more flavour to it, more obvious flavour to it at the start. There's nothing dry about it at the end, but it's not overly sweet either. It's very much a medium cider.
Yeah.
But the word medium implies boring, and this isn't a boring cider.
True.
The other one that I think was more my cup of tea because it was drier.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. The only reason that I'm giving, which is a bit unfair in a way, but the only reason that I'm giving this Severn one a higher mark is because it's sweeter and I prefer my sweeter ciders.
Well, I'm going to give it the same mark.
Okay.
Because I think it's just as good, but just different. So I'm giving it an 8.
Yeah, I know what you mean there, actually.
So I'm giving it an 8 as well. So you're giving it an 8?
Yes. I'm sticking with my 8.
So, it gets an 8.
The Severn Cider.
Now, an 8 is a standard bearer mark in our cider league table, isn't it?
It's a decent mark. I'm just going to try a wee dribble of the...
Yeah, we can drink this all night, these two, couldn't we?
Of the Dunkertons again, just to compare kind of backwards. It's probably the wrong way if I'm going from a sweet to a dry, but...
I don't think it matters in these cases. This is high-quality Perry we've had so far.
Okay, let's crack open this.
We'd recommend both of those to the listeners.
We would, definitely. Yes, definitely. We like the cider drinker, organic Perry.
Cider drinker connoisseurs.
Will you put it in the freaking glass? Don't just hold your thumb over it. As Neil opens and nearly spills everywhere, I knew I should have opened the champagne-style one.
See, we're already... I jumped ahead there and opened the French bottle.
And nearly,
but we're all good. There's only a minimal spillage.
Yeah, thanks to your thumb. So, the French.
The French. Whoa, this smells weird.
It smells like a blocked up drain.
It does. I don't know if I want to taste it. Right, the woman in the shop recommended this to me. So it better be good.
Okay, this could be interesting. Here it goes.
Whoa, wait, no, hold on. That's very different.
Yeah, now that is different. I'm allowed to say different.
That's bitter.
That's...
Right, we need to take our time here. Because this is thoroughly unexpected. I don't know, you can't class this as Perry, right? I mean, we've discussed the definitions of Perry before, haven't we? What the definition of Perry is, a drink that's made purely from Perry pears. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is from France.
Well, that's their, like... Yeah, officially.
Yeah, officially. But in reality, it's as long as it's made from 100% pressed pears or whatever.
Aye.
Right? Is this French one? There's not much labelling and there's not much information in the bottle to give us much. It's Norman, we know that. But it's bitter. It's not.
It is.
It doesn't taste like
pear at all. It's. I was expecting this to be sweet. I don't know why. I just get a sense that the larger Frencher bottle is going to be sweet, but it's never really the case.
It's like a dry champagne almost.
Yeah, yes. It almost is a kind of slightly less fizzy, slightly more flavoursome, slightly weaker champagne.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I'm not a fan.
I think some people would like that though. But I think it's just because we were expecting Perry. And we liked the first two, which were really good. If anything, I think we're slightly harsh in those two in our gradings. They got good gradings, but I think they deserve better. This is not for us. And that bottle cost me a fortune as well.
Where did you get it from?
Well, that shop in Brunsfield.
Yes.
I can never remember the name of. But I think this cost me over a tenner.
It is weird, this stuff.
I can't even describe it.
No,
it reminds me of lemons.
There is something a very kind of tangy,
like the real bitter pith of lemons.
Yeah,
because what pears taste like that? I mean, it's not revolting.
I can't taste
it. It's just very unusual.
I can't taste it as a pear. The fact that the bottle on the front of it has a pear larger than the house that it's sitting next to yet it doesn't really taste very peary.
I think this is an alternative to champagne for the kind of the wine connoisseur type person. I mean, it's still made from pears.
I think we'll have to look this up and see exactly. What, so what percentage is it? 4%?
Yeah, but that's equivalent to French cider, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get French cider that's between 4 and 5%. Mm. That's very common. Usually we like French cider. I'm not so sure we like French berry.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. So, right. Well, I'm going to go...
It tastes like bitter lemonade. That's it. Bitter lemonade mixed with champagne.
Yep.
A dry champagne mixed with bitter lemonade.
I'm giving it a 4.
A 4?
Yep.
That's a hell of a low mark.
Yeah.
That's lower than anything that we've got.
Yes.
No, because I'm going to say it's drinkable, right? So I'm going to give it a...
I'd have Perenelle's blush over this any day.
Well, that's a good point. I would as well. I would never order that again, would I?
No.
If I was pushed, I wouldn't order Perenelle's blush either, though. I'll give it a 4.5.
We've got 4.25. We've got 4.25. It's a new grade on this.
It's straight to the bottom of the league. I can't believe I spent a ten on it. Right, okay, so we've got our first dis recommendation.
Yeah.
Well, we also don't recommend Aspel Perenelle blush either. But we definitely don't recommend this rank thing. Don't waste your time spending a tenner on Christian Drouin.
Well, okay, don't waste your time if you're expecting something similar to other Perry-type ciders. Maybe that's not what it's meant to be. Maybe it is meant to be
something
else.
It's not for cider drinkers. It's not for cider drinkers. If you're into your dry champagne hybrids with bitter lemonade, then this might be your thing.
Oh, it is weird.
Nah, it's not nice. I mean, the thing is, though, we've not taken one sip and thrown it away, right? We have tried it again and again and again.
I'm just going to compare it to... Because that was dry. I'm just going to compare it to a bit of the Dunkerton's, which was dry.
Yeah, but the Dunkerton's was nice.
Oh, wow. See, going from that really dry French one to the Dunkerton's almost makes the Dunkerton's taste even nicer.
Yeah, but the Dunkerton's is a nice drier perry. It's more medium dry than...
Yeah.
That's bitter dry.
Yeah, right.
One caveat I would say on this, right? We've had one or two very dry ciders, and they were too dry for us. More so you than me, because you prefer sweeter than
I do.
Drier. I like it maybe a bit drier, but not too dry. And there's one of those ciders that we had that was a dry, I think it was Perry's dry cider we had.
Yes.
We didn't like it.
No.
One of our Twitter followers was very surprised because it's one of their favourite ciders.
Yes.
So if you're into your very dry cider, you might like this.
Yes, you might.
That's the only caveat I would say.
In fact, if you are into your dry cider, seek this one down, try it, and let us know what you think, because I'd be very interested.
Yeah. But most people that like cider, to some degree, would not like that.
Christian Drouin.
Drouin.
Drouin. Poir. Yeah. Okay,
so,
right.
So we don't recommend that, but we definitely recommend Severn Cider Perry, and we definitely recommend Dunkerton's Organic Perry.
We do indeed. And there were you worried that we were going to give all three the same grading.
No. 8, 8 and 4, or 7.5, 7.75, 8 and 4.25.
Interesting. Very good. Okay. Right.
Interesting experience from
indeed.
Perry-based show.
Yes.
So, do we have any cider or Perry news?
I should have really tried to find some Perry news, but to be honest, I struggled with cider news this week. Right. Probably after my bumper edition episode. So, this episode sees a return to the quiz.
Oh, the quiz.
Yeah.
Well, that's a while since we've done that.
I know, and it's been harder and harder to think up of questions.
Is that what you spent the half hour before the show doing?
Possibly. I needed a couple more questions, yeah.
Right. Right away, let's do this.
So, the quiz. Listeners at home, let us know how you get on. Are you ready?
Yes.
Question number one. Last show, we referred to a French cider as a bowl full of little dwarfs. But what was its actual name in French?
What was its actual name in French?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I don't remember that.
Come on, you must have an idea. Come on.
I've got no idea.
Remember, we Googled it.
I do remember.
We tried. Okay. We did it in Google Translate. We tried to work out what it was.
I've got it.
I'm not necessarily expecting you to get it letter for letter, but I'm up for giving you a...
I remember some of it. Okay.
A bowl full of little dwarfs.
Okay, I've got something.
Okay, cool. Question number two.
Yep.
Here's a cider stat for you. It's an interesting one I came across. According to UK law...
There's no such thing.
In general. No, I'm not quite there yet. Anyway, Shut up. According to UK law...
There's never been a UK
what
law.
What percentage apple juice does cider have to contain for it to be cider?
What UK law? Well,
yes, right, yes. So in the UK, in order for a cider to be classed as cider, what percentage of apples does it have to contain? It? Now, we're not talking here about Camera. We're not talking about real cider. We're talking about in order for it to be sold as cider.
Sold as cider.
Sold as cider. What percentage?
See, well, that's going to be a guess then, because I know what...
It's always going to be. I didn't expect you to know it.
Well, because the only definitions I know are 100% or 90%.
Okay.
Right? So I'm going
to
guess.
I'll give you it to the nearest 10%.
Right, I'm going to... this is going to be just a guess.
Yes. Well, I was expecting it to be a guess. I wasn't really expecting you to know it off the top of your head.
But let's be straight about this, right? Things like Somersby and Strongbow are sold as cider.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah.
Right, so that lowers my guess.
Yeah, he's thinking about this. It'll be interesting to see what you think, actually.
Okay.
Right, so this next question is testing you on how well you know our cider league table.
Another one of those.
Yep.
How well does the Edinburgh Cider Review know its own website? Fascinating for the listeners.
Well,
it's like the BBC analysing its own coverage
news
items.
No, there's a point.
Everybody gets bored with that kind of shit.
There's a point.
Anyway, carry on.
There's a point. It's an opportunity to tell people about our cider league table. If you get onto ciderview.com, you can check out our cider league table
right. That
lists all the cider we've tried in the show. So, out of the 35 ciders that
35?
We have currently tried on the list...
That's not bad going, 35.
How many of them are flavoured with fruit... other than apple. I'll give you it to... Well, you go.
How many of them are flavoured with fruit other than apple?
Yeah.
Of the 35?
Yeah.
Are you expecting me... Right, okay. What's your rationale for that question? Are you expecting me to memorise every single one? Or are you expecting me to make a blind guess?
A bit of both.
Like, okay, so does blackberry liqueur count? Does a perry count?
Yeah. Because that's fruit.
Right, okay. We've had two Swedish ones. We've had flavoured with fruit.
You can tell I was kind of running a bit low on questions this week.
Right, 35 we've tried, yeah?
We have 35.
It's less than 10.
Okay.
We've had... I'm trying to think of all the shit ones we've had. We had Jack's, Arlunga. I'll make an educated guess at... right, okay.
I
write it down.
Okay, cool. I'll give it to... I'm not expecting to get it spot on necessarily. It's okay. Quite a precise question. And on to question number 4. Which you're probably not going to like me for again. But as I said, it is... anyway. How many active cider makers did the National Association of Cider Makers estimate there were in the UK? I'll give it to the nearest 50.
How many active cider makers...
Oh, they're in the UK.
According to the National Association of Cider Makers?
Yes.
Now, what, right? That question has so many clarifications required.
Well,
I'm not even going to bother.
Yes.
I'm not even going to bother asking.
Yeah, but to be honest, even if I were to clarify those clarifications, would that make your answer any...
No.
More
which implies how stupid a question it was. Right. A blind guess.
Okay.
Does that include recreational? Is this commercial cider makers?
Cider makers.
Right.
Active people that make cider.
People that make cider. Just that's it. Mm. Including me. If
I don't know what it involves. Just pick a number out of
right,
your head.
Well, right. Okay. One question, right? See if I go down to my uncle's farm.
Yeah.
Right? And I find three apple trees growing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I pick all of them.
Yeah. No.
I don't count on that basis, right?
No. People that make cider. Okay. I'm guessing it's like cider, making cider for a living.
With a cider press in there. That they use regularly.
Aye, not just hobbyists, not home brewers.
Right, okay. right, I've got a guess. To right. The nearest 50, so
yeah.
I'm just going to guess a number that divides by 50.
Right, fine.
Right, okay.
Well, the answer isn't, but anyway, fine. Okay.
I can tell you did this quiz on the hoof before the show. When you're
well,
finishing your
this
dominoes.
Is this is partly why, and I suggested this before the show, that I think for a show we should swap roles, and you should come up with quiz questions or news articles.
Yeah, but you don't.
Then
you don't tell listeners that. You make that a surprise in the show.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a surprise.
I'm going to edit
it's
that
just
out.
An idea. No,
anyway.
We're not. Right. So, question number one. Last show we referred to a French cider as a little bowl. No, sorry, a bowlful of little dwarfs. But
yep.
What was the actual name in French?
Le bolé de croissant.
Oh, that's quite close.
I couldn't remember the precise last word.
Le bolé le corrigan.
Ah, oh, le bolé de corrigan. Corrigan.
Corrigan. That's actually...
Like, give me half a mark for that.
I'll give you 3/4 of a mark for
that. No, it's half a mark.
Okay, half a mark, fine. Question number 2. According to UK law, what percentage apple juice does a cider have to contain?
This is quite an interesting question.
Yeah, what was your thinking?
My thinking was, a couple of definitions for the real cider fraternity, Nazis and otherwise, talk about 90% or 100%. Okay? I then in my head thought, right, lower than that because legal requirements are usually fairly flexible. So I thought 60%. But then I've remembered Strongbow can legally call itself a cider and other similar versions. So I lowered it. But I was then thinking too low because... So I've gone with 30%.
Ah. Not far off. According to Wikipedia...
Right.
At least 35%.
At least 35%.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a point for that.
I get that. And not only that, my logic was very good, wasn't it?
It was very good indeed. What's also interesting is in Sweden, it's 15%.
I think we... Well, maybe that tells you something about the laws on premium drinks. If you bump up the legal requirements, you get better quality product.
Yes. Such as Carling British cider.
Such as Carling British cider.
Anyway, question number 3. In our cider league, how many ciders out of the 35 that we have tasted...
Right, educated guess, 9.
...contain fruit other than apples in them? Or at least were flavoured by. 9. Yeah, I'm going to give it. I was going to say I'd give you it to the nearest to 2 off, and it was actually 7.
Okay.
Iden's elderflower. Thistlecross real.
Elderflower isn't a fruit.
Well, okay. 6 then. In which case you don't get the point.
All right. Okay. No. You're probably right.
I did look it up, and there is elder. You get the elderberries, but it is sort of flavored off the elderflower. So I kind of put it in there depending on. But anyway, Thistlecross real strawberry.
Yeah.
You thought of that one. The Henry Weston's Vintage Perry. The Welsh cider one that I can't pronounce, Automagic, that we had. The Hurlunga Blackcurrant and Lime.
Yeah.
Jacques. And the Aspel's Pearl and Old Brush.
Okay.
So, yeah, not bad. I'll give you that one.
I thought it was a few more.
I'll give you that one. And last but not least, how many active cider makers did the National Association of Cider Makers estimate that there were in the UK?
Total guess. Stupid question.
I know, it is. I agree.
250.
Double it.
500. Right. That is a total nonsense because there's absolutely no way I can buy 500 different types of cider in the UK.
Well, you should bring that up with the National Association of Cider Makers, who estimated that there were at least 480.
480 active commercial cider makers.
I didn't say commercial.
Well, commercial in the sense that they sell it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it might even be a farmhouse that you go up with a tub and say, fill up the tub, that'll be a tenner.
Presumably.
Right? But that counts as a commercial, that's what I mean, commercial with a small C, if you like.
Right.
Right? 480, I doubt it.
Right, you're not getting the point. So, that leaves us with...
Stupid quiz. stupid feature. I don't know why we bother with this quiz.
That leaves us with 2.5 out of 4.
Which, it's not bad given the given the hurried nature of the
It wasn't hurried. I'm struggling. Listeners, please do send in your quiz questions for the quiz, because I could really do with some good quiz questions, because it is becoming harder and harder to think them up. Says the one that sits over there and doesn't do any prep for the show.
I do prep for the show.
Yeah, you have a think about what you're gonna say about a pub.
No, not only that, I have to think about how I'm going to introduce each episode.
Oh my gosh, a single word.
Yeah, every show. I'm running out.
Okay, so that was the quiz, listeners.
That was the quiz, no news.
Let us know how you did, and also let us know if you've got any better questions. Thank you. No news, sorry.
Okay, well, you did quite well on the news front previous week.
Well, despite you slating me for it to be all commercial stuff.
Oh yeah, but you can't win, can you? I'll slate you regardless.
I know.
So,
right, I'm going to need some more of this Severn Perry.
Oh yeah, I was going to have some of that. Anyway, pub review. We usually review one pub.
We do.
We didn't do it last week, but what we thought we'd do this week is we talk about recent additions to the Edinburgh Cider map, which is on ciderview.com, and that documents our travels around Edinburgh looking for good places to drink cider. And we've had 3 recent additions to the cider map in 3 different locations in Edinburgh. And 3 different circumstances we went there. So we thought we'd give you a brief introduction as to why you should go to each of these places. So the first one I'm going to talk about is in Leith. It's called Bond Number 9. It's in the Shore. Quite a trendy area of Leith. Leith has many sides.
Yeah, that's true.
So Bond Number 9. Reason I went there, just because it was a nice place to go. It's a nice place to finish up of an evening, actually. It's quite a trendy place. You weren't there.
No, I've never been there. I have walked past it. I've never been in.
Yeah. Well, I was there with other people.
It looks quite...
quite nice, yeah. Well, it's next to Tom Kitchen's place and International Starter and...
Chop Chop.
And Chop Chop. Yeah, the nice little area of the Shore. And but anyway, the reason you should go there, so I won't talk too much about it, but the reason you should go there is because it had two good ciders on tap, so it goes into the recommended category on our cider map. The two good ciders they had were Cedar of the Recoltant.
On tap?
Not on tap, no.
Oh, what was on tap?
On tap. On tap was just Aspels. But I wasn't talking about Aspels for the two good ciders. Did I say on tap?
Yes.
I didn't. I'm not used to preparing items for the show. Give me a break.
Right, keep going.
Right, the two good ciders they had in the fridge were Cedar of the Recoltant.
Okay.
Which we're fans of. Standard French bearer cider, standard bearer for French cider, in our view.
Well, well, even higher than that. I mean, if anything, I think it's joint second on our cider.
It's not that high, is it? I thought it was lower down than that. Anyway, Cedar of the Recoltant in the fridge, which you don't see very often. And it also had Old Rosie. So, Old Rosie, more common. Yeah. More common to see, but also a standard bearer cider. So, two very good ciders to have, which goes into our recommended category on the Edinburgh Cider Map.
Definitely, yes. No, it sounds good to me. You'll have to take me sometime.
Yeah, I need to take you. but I'll definitely go there again anyway, otherwise. And they had the usual array of Magners and Bulmers as well. So, something for everyone in the cider front. 9 different varieties in total.
9?
Yeah.
Is that including all the Bulmers and Magners and that stuff?
Though? Yeah. Aye.
Okay. Oh, well, sounds good. Can we go after the show?
Not tonight, no.
Fine.
We will do at some point, though.
Okay. Right, what's the next one?
Anyway, next we will go to more central, Newtown area, top of Broughton Street, the basement.
Ah, yes.
Been in there a few times.
We have.
More recently, we were in with another friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't listen to the show.
No.
So he'll remain nameless.
He will.
So, but the three of us were in there, been there a few times, good place to go, interesting place to go. Basement, it's called the basement because it's in a basement, as a lot of pubs are in Edinburgh.
True.
Quite a dark place, would you call it a cool place? I don't like using the word. Kind of, because it doesn't really care about itself.
Do you know what is cool about it? The chairs.
The chairs.
The chairs are made out of caterpillar tracks. So basically tank tracks, and you can sit on them, and they're very cool.
Yeah, it's got interesting features about it. Anyway, the cider, it's got Thistle Cross.
It does.
Thistle Cross traditional?
Yes.
Did it have any other versions of Thistle Cross?
No, just the original. Traditional.
Just the traditional, which is the 4.4 version. I think they have had other versions of Thistle Cross in previous times we've been there.
I only ever remember having the traditional while we were there.
Did they have any other cider in the place, actually?
They had the Thistle Cross and then just the standard Magners, Bulmers Fruit and Recordly.
Magners, Bulmers Fruit and Recordly, right. So the usual...
The usual malarkers. Yes.
And Thistle Cross. Thistle Cross is now very common in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Because we're the biggest city nearest to Thistle Cross.
Yes. And I was very delighted to see yesterday that Morrison's has started selling Thistle Cross. I'll be getting some Thistle Cross with my weekly shop.
But anyway, it's becoming more easier to get to. So, yeah, fair play, they've got Thistle Cross and they've got a few extra ones. So we wouldn't recommend it on the Edinburgh Cider Map because our recommendation is based on two
at least
non-standard ciders.
Yes, at least two decent non-standard ciders.
But it's worth going, because it's a nice pub, pub.
Check it out.
And it's a good place if you're out of an evening in town, you're not quite sure to go, but you want to go somewhere before somewhere else. It's a good place to go, top of Broughton Street, which is a good street full of nice pubs.
And the only place in Edinburgh with caterpillar track chairs.
Yeah, so it's worth going, but for cider recommendation purposes, not quite.
Yeah.
Third pub, final pub for this week to look at, is a pub which is the Brunsfield Hotel pub. Is that right?
Yeah, well, more of a bar. I'd call this one definitely a bar.
So it's basically the hotel bar, and the name of it is the Bisque Brasserie.
Yes.
But essentially, you're going to the Brunsfield Hotel.
Well, yes, but the Bisque Brasserie is kind of in the basement, so it's downstairs. It's all very nice. It's completely separate from the hotel.
Yeah.
Exceptional
service.
We had a light bite to eat in there, but the food was very good.
So we went there for something to eat and drink before the Thistle Cross snakebite lunch.
Yes, that's right.
And but we also went there because one of our listeners recommended we go there to try Oliver's Shazam cider.
Yes, well, Tom Oliver himself recommended that we went there to try his cider.
Oh, was it him himself?
Yes, it was. All right.
Oh, well, is he one of the 500 cider makers in the UK?
I'm sure he is.
Well, he must be, given he's made good cider, by the way. I'm sure we'll come back to that.
The Oliver Shazam was very good.
We will be featuring that in a future show.
Yes, definitely.
Because we have it.
Yes. Because there was the Perry and the Shazam cider and the original Perry.
Yeah, so they had both.
They were both very good.
So we went there for that cider, but not only that, they had that cider. They had a few extras, the usuals, like the Magnum's Golden Draft, yeah, and a Copperberg, yeah, or something. Fantastic cider, fantastic service, good food. A wee bit pricey, but you're going to expect that in a hotel bar like that.
Yeah, it's a very nice place. So, I mean, if you're looking to try different cider, which is good, which I don't believe you can find anywhere else in Edinburgh. In fact, I'm sure he said, the guy we were speaking to said the only other place in Scotland you could find it was some hotel on Skye.
Yeah, so if you want to get Oliver's Shazam cider,
yes,
you need to go there.
Get yourself down to the Bruntsfield.
Or if you're in Skye, go to the place in Skye.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there you go. So, three different pubs, three different parts of Edinburgh. We would say you should go to them all. Two we'd recommend for cider purposes. And one has good cider if you're there, but it's a good place to go anyway.
Indeed. Sounds good to me.
That was good.
It was.
It was a bit better version of our pub review, I think. See what the listeners thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll give you more updates on our cider map and more pub reviews in the future. Anyway, let's branch out.
Oh, yes, that's true. Let's branch out. I completely forgot about that feature. I was about to go on to something else, but anyway.
Penultimate feature, you mean?
I completely forgot. Let's branch out. I thought we were nearly done.
Right, I'm going to nail this Perry. These two Perrys, I'm really pleased with.
Yeah,
the first
yeah,
two.
Really pleased with these Perrys.
I think we've even been slightly harsh because they're both really good and really different.
No, I think decent ratings. Anyway.
Let's branch out. Now, one of our listeners, friend of the show, Gary Caldwell, surprised me with a birthday present, addressed to Neil Caldwell at the Edinburgh Sound Review. And three bottles of Cornish Mead came in the post. This probably stems from Gary Caldwell listened to episode 10, listened to our discussion with Peter, and Peter was recommending drinks that we should have for Let's Branch Out, the feature. And he recommended mead.
He did.
And now we have a bottle of mead.
We do.
Now, this Cornish Mead company... So they're trying to revive the old tradition of mead, old English mead and old sort of Cornish style mead, and it looks like a kind of gift pack that I've got here. We've got a cherry mead, an elderberry mead, and the original mead wine, a little 25 centiliter bottle of original mead wine. So we're gonna have a go.
So you've never had mead before?
I've never had mead before. Have you?
No, I don't think I've ever had mead before.
Now. This obviously, we don't even need to try it. It qualifies for Let's Branch Out. Because it's not cider. It's not beer.
It's not wine. Oh, hold on.
It's not wine.
Yeah,
it's mead.
I know.
Right? And it's not a spirit. So, this is the perfect Let's Branch Out. Now, we were having a debate before the show as to how we should drink this. Should we have it chilled? Should we have it room temperature? We've gone with room temperature.
Yes, it doesn't say on it to drink it chilled. So I read online that it's to do with whether it's a light one or a heavy one. So we're just going to drink this. Don't you just sniff it straight away? Let's get a bit of this poured out. Not too much. Remembering this is 14% now.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I'll pour a kind of.
It's very dark, very very dark in colour. It's almost like an ale.
So that's like a double or triple shot of giving. I'll give you a wee bit more.
Kind of colour. But it's like more of a wine than a. Shots.
Yeah, but see, I've got this, like, when I was doing history classes and stuff like that, I've got this image of people, I get to try this first, it was addressed to me, anyway. I've got an image of, like, old boys in pubs in the 17th century drinking pints of mead. So if they were drinking pints of 14%, what were they doing? Wandering around half and cut.
Don't know if your image is right.
Right, let's give it a go.
Ah.
Whoa.
That's kind of what I was expecting, but it reminds me of something.
It definitely has the honey aspect to it. But it's got some kind of different aftertaste. It's a nice drink, isn't it?
It's sweet. It's not. I mean, to be honest, honey wine is pretty much the perfect description.
Honey
but
wine.
What's it remind? That's what mead is, effectively, is it not?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure mead is honey wine.
Honey wine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it reminds me of something. What does?
Is there some liqueur? Is there some sort of... not liqueur. Is there some... Is there not some shot that you can drink?
Yeah, I think so. There's something.
Some kind of toffee shot or...
Something like
it's,
that.
It's almost toffee and honey as well, isn't it? That's a nice drink, that. I don't know how much of it you could have. Like, you wouldn't... I don't even know how... Mm. What kind of drinking glass you should have with it.
Well, I'd go for being similar to wine.
You want more?
Because it is kind of wine. I'll have a wee bit more, yeah. So if you imagine the kind of... Because it's 14%. So if you imagine your wine is, what, 12, 13%-ish. Then I can see you kind of having a wine. But I can't sort of see it in a wine glass. I need to look up and see exactly how it's traditionally drunk. Because it doesn't quite fit, obviously, standard wine.
No.
But, I mean, to be honest, right. Before you tasted this, you were saying, perfect, let's branch out. But for tasting it, it's... Well, what are we going to... Is this a recommended let's branch out? Is this something that cider drinkers might like?
Is it something cider drinkers might like? Mm. Yeah.
It's certainly different to cider. You wouldn't drink it in the same way as cider.
No, it's not similar to cider the way that some of our other drinks are similar to cider that we've tried in Let's Branch Out. It's not. It's closer to wine. But I suppose everything is closer, even though it's not a cider, not a beer, not a wine, not a spirit. Usually it's closer to one of those four things. When we have a Let's Branch Out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and this is
so
closer
this
to
is
wine.
Closer to wine, but it's not wine, and it doesn't taste like wine. And it's got the traditional southwestern, west country type atmosphere to it, the way that you'd expect of a good Perrier or cider. So there's something to it there. First Cornish drink we've had in the show as well. We haven't had any Cornish cider or Perrier yet, so...
I think it's like... It's some kind of spirit like sherry. Sherry.
Yeah, you're right. It does taste like sherry, but...
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's right. It'd be interesting to see what the fruit ones are like, because we've got sort of the cherry mead and the elderberry mead as well. And this is the one we're having is the original mead wine. But they seem to market themselves as doing different types of mead. So maybe the fruit end is the more interesting version.
Well, I mean, everything's going fruit-based these days.
Yeah.
Fruit ciders, fruit beer, fruit mead.
No, it is a sherry. It does taste a bit like sherry.
See, I like it. It's something that I'd have a drink, but I can't quite see when I'd drink it. I can't see me drinking this in an evening. It's not really, it's either...
No, you wouldn't... It's not common enough for you to...
Can't see me drinking this in a pub. So that's why I'm hesitant about giving it Let's Branch Out award.
It's like, now that I've got sherry in my head, because that's what it tastes a bit like.
Yeah.
When you go to these events and you have sherry before or port after, it's like one of these... Not that I go to these events very often, but every 5 years or so... You go to a dinner where you have sherry before and port after, and that's what it's like.
Yeah, but imagine you got mead instead of sherry, you'd be a bit...
The thing. I suppose in my head, the idea of mead was old boys getting sozzled in the pub in the 17th century with massive tankards of it. But in reality, it tastes a bit more like a refined drink you'd have in a small glass in an event where you're wearing gowns and kilts.
Yeah, I can see that.
So there we go.
I can see that.
I'd still recommend people try it. It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
And maybe the fruit versions will be more modern. I mean,
It would be interesting to try them.
I mean, as far as cider goes, I prefer cider rather than fruit cider. But maybe with mead, adding a bit of fruit makes it more interesting and more palatable to the modern taste bud.
I think you've just gone and pissed off all the real mead fans.
The real mead fans. Well, how many of our listeners are real mead fans?
I don't know if there is such a thing. I'm sure there is. But anyway, so, mead.
Well, interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting. So that was Let's Branch Out. Do we have anything in the post bag this week?
Nothing quite of interest. However, one thing I should mention from last week's show. Let's Branch Out, the Écusson Cider Rosé.
All right.
Now, when we were tasting it, we both agreed it tasted very much of plum.
Yes.
But we looked this up after the show, because we reckoned that there was some plum added in there. But apparently, it is just apple. It is just cider. But it's with a specific type of apple, which is what that brings through that plum kind of flavour and the colour and the kind of redness of it. We were both very surprised to discover this.
Yeah, I still didn't believe it.
And Neil still doesn't believe it to this day. But just to clarify, the cider rosé that we tried in the Let's Branch Out section of last week's show is just apple. There is no plum in it, but it does taste of plum.
And so have you introduced a new feature of the podcast? corrections to previous podcasts?
Well, only when we need to have a correction to make.
Oh God, there's thousands. There's thousands of corrections we need to do.
Well,
if we want to go down that road, we'll be here all night.
Well, no, we can be picky about things, but I think that was something worth mentioning.
Okay. Well, that just about sums everything up for this week's edition of The Edinburgh Side of You, Phase 12. We'll see you for the 13th installment. So thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.